So let's begin with a little word association. I'll give you a phrase and want you to think in your mind, don't say it out loud, but think in your mind, what's the first word that comes to your mind when you hear this phrase? If I say to you, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. First word that comes to your mind. I'm guessing that some of you, the first thing that came to your mind was the word funeral. Because for so many, when you hear, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want, you think, well, this must be a funeral. And you wouldn't be alone if that was the word that came to your mind, as it does for so many. It might even, for us in particular here at the cathedral, had 4 funerals in the last 3 days, which maybe brought some of you here to Dodge City even to pray with us now. And Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want, certainly is that. It is one of the options the church gives us, which we pray often at funerals. But Psalm 23 is also so much more than that. That's why it's great that we sang Psalm 23 today here at Mass, which gives us the chance to do 2 things. To think about the Psalms in general and their place in our faith. And secondly, to consider this most popular psalm and a hidden meaning that it has that perhaps you've never seen, which even I had never seen until not long ago. So hang on. But first, it's worthwhile to consider the Psalms in general, because it is the only book from the Bible that we hear from every time we come to Mass. Now, even the Gospels, which have a pride of place, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, even the Gospels, we alternate or cycle through. It's only the Psalms that we hear from every time we come to Mass. So there are 150 of them, and they weren't written down in one setting by one person. In fact, it's generally thought that they were written over the course of hundreds of years. It's believed that some of them were written by King David, perhaps by his son, King Solomon. So why is it then that we would pray and usually sing a psalm at every Mass? Well, first of all, it makes sense because Jesus prayed the psalms every time that he came to worship. Think about that. Jesus himself prayed Psalm 23, just like we did today, but not in English, of course. And the Catechism tells us that the Psalms were written for everyone at all times. What does that mean? It means that whatever emotion you have at this moment, there was a psalm written for you. Are you sad right now? Or are you angry right now? Are you happy right now? Are you scared right now? Well, there is a psalm that speaks to your emotion right now. The Psalms are written for everyone at all times. But the church also tells us that the Psalms have 2 inseparable qualities. That the Psalms are personal and they're communal. Meaning that when you pray a psalm, yes, it is you praying for that particular emotion or situation that you have, but it is also us praying as a church, as a family. A psalm at every Mass. But there is perhaps no more well-known psalm than Psalm 23. Beyond Catholics, beyond Christians even, who have committed it to memory. In some cases, because it's that psalm we are accustomed to hearing to at many funerals. But it is much more than that. In fact, in the first centuries of Christianity, Psalm 23 was one of the most common passages of the Bible used for teaching new Christians. Teaching new Christians. So how was it that Psalm 23 was used for teaching? That's the hidden meaning. Or hidden in plain sight, as perhaps you could say. In fact, it might be worth us taking a look. If you want, you can pull out your missalette. On page 86 is where we just have our psalm this morning. It starts on 86 and it continues on 88. So what is this hidden meaning of Psalm 23? Well, Psalm 23 in the first centuries of Christianity was used to prepare those who were going to join the church for the sacraments of initiation. And if we look, we see that it's not so hidden after all, that the three sacraments are here in Psalm 23. Look at verse 1 that we sang. Beside restful waters, He leads me. He refreshes my soul. And when the first Christians heard that, they thought, this is baptism. These are the restful waters where He leads me. If we go to page 88, that third verse that we sang, you spread the table before me. What is that table? So many heard that it was this table spread before us. And that overflowing cup was the precious blood given for us to receive. And when Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oil, when is it that someone's head is anointed with oil? Well, it's in the sacrament of confirmation. And so here was this psalm written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. And when our first Christians read it, they said it was preparing us for the faith. In fact, catechumens, which are those who are preparing to be baptized, in the early days of the church, they memorized Psalm 23. So that way, when they were baptized, when they were anointed, and when they received the Eucharist, they already knew that that was God's plan for them. Psalm 23 certainly has a popular meaning. It might have come to your mind as it came to mine. But it, like every single one of the Psalms, has a depth that cannot be fully reached. For every time that we pray them, it says something about us, and it says something to us about God.